हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण। जय राधा माधव कुंजाबी हारी गोपी जन बाल भागीरी वरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंजा बिहारी गोपी जन बाल भागीरी वरधारी यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Bala Bhagiri Varadhari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Bala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Bala Bhagiri Varadhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tirambana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari Gopi Jana Balabha Giri Varinhari Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo,
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tito Jayam Udirayet Nasta Presha Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Reading this morning from Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text 17, The Activities of the Prachetas. Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Ahutau Jasa Bauman Bokshyata Boganvai Divyangs Chanugraham Mama Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Ahatau Jasam Bauman Bokshyata Boganvai Divyangs Chanugraham Mama. Please chant. Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Mahato Jasaham Bhagavan Bokshyata Bhoganbhai Divyams Chanugraham Mama Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Bodha Bogataha Bhoman Bhoksyatya Bhogan Bhai Divyam Shanugrahan Mama Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Mahatau Jasa Bhoman Bokshyatta Bhoganvai Divyams Chandugrahan Mama Vaishnavis. Would you like to chant? Divya Varsha Sahasranam Sahasram Ahato Jasa Bhoman Bokshyatta Bhoganvai Divyams Chanugrahan Mama. Okay. So, synonyms. Divya of the heavenly planets. Varsha, years. Sahasranam of thousands. Sahasram, a thousand. Ahata, without being defeated. Ojasaha, your power, Bhoman, of this world, Bhokshyata, you will enjoy, Bhogan, enjoyments, by, certainly, Divyan of the heavenly world, cha also anugrahat, by mercy, mama, my. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord then blessed all the prachetas, saying, my dear princes, by my mercy, you can enjoy all the facilities of this world as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrance and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. Please repeat. The Lord then blessed all the prachetas, saying, my dear princes, by my mercy, you can enjoy all the facilities of this world, as well as the heavenly world. Indeed, you can enjoy all of them without hindrance and with full strength for 1,000,000 celestial years. Purport. The duration of life prescribed for the prachetas by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is calculated by the time measurements of higher planetary systems. Our 6 Earth months are said to equal 12 hours in the higher planetary systems. 30 days equals 1 month, and 12 months equals 1 year. In this way, for 1,000,000 years, according to the calculations of the higher planetary systems, the prachetas were allowed to enjoy all kinds of material facilities. Although this lifespan was so long, the prachetas were given full bodily strength by the grace of the Lord. In the material world, if one wants to live for many years, he must endure the difficulties of old age, invalidity, and many other miserable conditions. The prachetas, however, were given full bodily strength to enjoy material facilities. This special facility was given to the prachetas so that they could continue rendering full devotional service. This will be explained in the following verse. Just a little foreshadowing, the next verse says that thereafter, after all this enjoyment, you will be awarded unadulterated devotional service and be free from all material contamination. Hi, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So the prachetas had pleased the Lord by working in a cooperative way in his devotional service. And so he gave them this benediction, which is a benediction desired by everybody, but not given often by the Lord. It is said that manifestation of good karma is present when it is prasadam time and we have a very good appetite. Or it's time to rest and we're very tired. This is good karma. So the prachetas got this full facility to enjoy every sort of material enjoyment with full strength for this duration of 1,000,000 years. Srila Prabhupada was once asked by a professor, a religious studies scholar, Dr. Thomas Hopkins, a wonderful gentleman, what is the most important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam? Is anyone familiar with this conversation, what Srila Prabhupada said? Anyone would like to make a guess? Savaipam Samparo Dharma. This is certainly a verse that is like a Mahavakya from the... You're in the right canto and the right chapter, but the wrong verse. What's that? Krishna's two Bhagavatam. That's later. Third, next chapter. It's in the second chapter of the first canto. It is a verse that probably you would not expect, you know? Very close. Very close. It's just before that. Dharmasya yapavargasya narta uptaya upakalpate nartasya dhammakantasya kama lobhaya hi smrita. This verse says that spiritual life, religious practice, should never be performed for the sake of economic development. And if in the course of our spiritual life we happen to get economic development, it should never be used for sense gratification. So, the relationship between material enjoyment, which is the essence of money, because with money you can enjoy any kind of sense gratification you want, right? So, the relationship between money and religious practice is very clearly defined in this verse, and thus it's explained that one should never pursue spiritual life just for some sort of economic development or personal aggrandizement of any kind. The purpose of spiritual life is to please the Supreme Lord. And if our purpose is clear, then the practice of spiritual life will be very easy. It will always be very clear what is our duty in every situation. That doesn't mean that in the course of our spiritual life, we're going to have an easy time in this material world. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati said that one who takes to the path of God will find it is strewn with thorns. So, why should anyone take the spiritual life? Well, because the path of material life is also strewn with thorns. The difference is that the person on the spiritual path, first of all, expects this, and second, has a higher purpose. So, the Prachetas are in a different environment, a different yuga, a different set of circumstances, doing things we could not possibly do, meditating underwater for how many thousands of years. We could not begin to perform such austerities, nor are we expected to in this Kali Yuga. All we need to do, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalo, Kalao Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Just chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. That is all that's needed. And there's really no alternative in this day and age of Kali Yuga. The Prachetas had this boon that they can enjoy material life with full strength for a very long duration. Now, in the United States, where I come from, there's a city called Miami Beach. And Miami Beach is the biggest city in the southernmost part of the United States. So the weather is generally much nicer there than in the rest of the country. So many, many old people go there to retire. So there on Miami Beach, you will see many elderly people dressed in the kind of bathing suits that young people would wear. And as my godbrother Hridayananda Maharaj said, Miami Beach is the world's largest changing bodies exhibition. So it is a very sad testament to the education that people get in this day and age that the only thing they think about or they know to pursue is sense gratification late into life. This makes a very ridiculous situation because the facility for enjoying sense gratification diminishes more and more and more. The human form of life has this particular quality. The human body has highly developed intelligence in relation to all other species on this planet. This is evident from the moment of birth. When a young horse is born, a foal, within a few minutes, that little horse is up on his feet, shakily, but standing, within a few minutes of birth, because this is their particular strength. But a human baby, it comes out of the womb with this gigantic head. It's practically just a head with little appendages stuck to it, a baby. And that baby cannot even lift the head off the mat for weeks or months. So that's just an indication. What is the purpose of the human body? The heavily stressed part of human life is using the intelligence and developing intelligence for the sake of understanding the whole dynamic of life in this world. So a devotee, a person with that intelligence being properly utilized, carries on through all kinds of difficulties in life because the whole life is a successive fulfillment of a worthwhile goal.
One definition of happiness is that very definition, that progressive fulfillment of something worthwhile. So for the devotee, the human body is a great asset for spiritual realization. And this is no more evident than if we study the particular misery associated with this body of old age. As we age, we lose the faculty to enjoy. We lose the faculties to even experience this world clearly. They're taken away from us. Imagine how depressing it would be if all of our happiness depended on those faculties and we cannot keep them. I have some very vivid personal experience of this. My mother just celebrated her 100th birthday in November. And I don't know if you want to applaud. No, it was a, it's very eye-opening for me to, when I go and visit her, to see what is the benefit of living 100 years. So only one out of 50,000 people lives to be 100 years old. A very rare thing. And as I listened to her discuss with her friends, what I have understood is that if you live that long, you have the pleasure of seeing almost everyone you know die. All your friends, most if not all of your family members, you have the privilege of attending their funeral. And in the course of that, the ability to just carry out normal functions gradually becomes reduced almost to nil. So to explore this phenomenon, a scientist has recently developed an and puts it on, recreates the experience of being in an old body. The joints do not move very easily. It is weighted down very heavily. The neck will barely swivel. There is obstructions of vision and hearing. So a person can have the thrill of putting this on and seeing what lies ahead. So some of the experimenters, the subjects of the experiment who tried on this old age suit, described that whereas they would typically think of doing some action just in terms of performing that particular action, in this suit, they had to concentrate on every movement. Just like we might think, let me go take this cup from the table. But in the old age suit, you think, okay, now let me turn this way. Now let me lift this arm that way. Now let me try to get hold with it. See, this is the experience of aging. Jara, janma mrityu jara vyadi. These discomforts associate with the material body. For the person for whom sense gratification is the goal of life, it is a miserable, horrible experience. But for a devotee, every one of these setbacks, every one of these loss of faculties is a reminder of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. And we have no expectations of anything else. When Srila Prabhupada left this world, he made many revealing statements in this regard. He said, so devotees were begging him, please, to take prasadam, to eat something, because he had basically stopped eating. He said that his father had done the same thing. When he was preparing to leave this world, he just stopped eating. But the devotees were begging him. So he said that, I'm not eating, I'm not sleeping, I am not defending, there is no question of mating, therefore I am liberated. He saw the positive side of it. And he told us, don't think this won't happen to you. Don't think this won't happen to you. So our position in this life We have obtained this body which has built-in obsolescence, planned obsolescence, they call it, which is a great incentive for our spiritual growth. It is very difficult for a young person to understand the sufferings of an old person. It is very difficult for us to put ourselves in the shoes of other people. But first-class intelligence means that we hear these things and we learn. One of my good friends, Brahmatirtha Prabhu, was engaged to a young lady in New Jersey, a young Jewish lady, and then he went off to the Peace Corps for a year. And his Peace Corps assignment was to go to India. So there in India, he met Srila Prabhupada. And he became a devotee. So when he came back to his nice Jewish fiancée, he said, "Guess what? I am now a Hare Krishna devotee. And I would like to introduce it to you." So his wife was very chaste, fiance. They were married then, and she said, "All right, I'll take a look." So she went to the temple, and all the devotees started saying to her, "Oh, you are suffering in this material world." And she said, "What are you talking about?" So this is a very good lesson for us to learn. This is not a great way to approach newcomers to Krishna consciousness. "Oh, you're miserable." So because of this preaching, it took her a little while to become a devotee. In fact, she made up her mind she was never going to say Hare Krishna. Radha Vrindavan Chandra. She was determined she was not going to say Hare Krishna. Ever. Her husband was going to do whatever, but she wasn't going. So Brahmatirtha Prabhu took her to meet Srila Prabhupada. And she was very impressed by Srila Prabhupada. And he was not like these devotees, telling her how miserable she was. So at the end of their darshan, they got up, they were leaving the room, and Srila Prabhupada looked at her and said, "Hare Krishna." And she looked at him and said, "Hare Krishna." So she became his disciple. Her name is Bhakti Devi. So sometimes devotees will be explaining about bhakti, that bhakti is meant for Krishna. One devotee once said in a lecture that one cannot say, "I have bhakti for my wife." And Brahmatirtha said, "I can say that." So although it is true that in this world we are destined, in this body, we are destined to go through miseries, it is not the first introduction of Krishna consciousness. You know, we need to introduce people in a positive way. There's a story in the Hita Upadesha about the jackal and the moose. Do you know this story? So the jackal was walking through the field and all of a sudden fell into a blind well overgrown with grass. And he was stuck down there trying to get up the sides. And it was too slick, so he couldn't get up. So he's thinking what to do. So he started dancing and singing, "Ah," making lots of noise. "Ah." And then a moose heard the sound and came over and looked down the well. "What are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm dancing. It's so nice. You should join me." So the foolish moose jumped in, and the jackal jumped on his antlers and jumped out of the well. So we have four regulative principles and 16 rounds of japa. This is our program. And in the Gita, Krishna says, this yajna should be joyfully performed. So if we perform this very joyfully, this Krishna consciousness, then people will want to jump in the well. The difference is that if they jump in the well, we will both be liberated. Everyone is liberated. That is the mercy of Lord Nityananda. So dharmasya hyapavargasya. In the course of our spiritual life, our purpose should be just pleasing Krishna. If we just want to please Krishna, then our GPS will always lead us in the right direction. You know, sometimes there are choices in the course of devotional service. Always, in fact, we always confront these choices. So how do we decide which will please Krishna more, this or that? So this is the real challenge for us as devotees, how to navigate this life in Krishna's service, how to always remain fixed in chanting our rounds, following the regulative principles, and serving in the best way that we can. If we can just maintain that position, this life will take us to our desired destination. And we will always feel happy no matter what may be happening in the course of our life. So this requires to be able to stay fixed in our position, in our service. We need to have our varna and our ashram in line. Then it will be very natural for us to continue serving. As I mentioned this morning before japa, each and every one of us has a unique way of pleasing Krishna. It's a very godlike thing to do, isn't it? Imagine if you were God. Wouldn't it be a cool thing? I think I will create limitless living entities who will each please me in a unique way. Doesn't that make a lot of sense? Every single one of these countless expansions will bring me some kind of pleasure in a unique way. So our course of self-realization in our life is finding out exactly how we are best able to bring Krishna pleasure. So this varnashram system, it's meant for that purpose, to help people find a situation where they can progressively and naturally move forward. Srila Prabhupada gave sannyas to many of my young godbrothers in their 20s because sannyasis were needed to spread the movement. And for many of them, it was really not their natural position. But they accepted that service and that position for the sake of serving Prabhupada. So one of these very sincere sannyasis who did tremendous service encountered difficulty and fell down from his vows. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote about him. He was writing the eighth canto at that time about the Gajendra Moksha Leela. And in the purport, he was explaining how the alligator was stronger than the elephant because the alligator was in his natural position in the water. And therefore, although the elephant was much stronger overall in that position, the alligator was fighting from a position of strength. So in the same way, he said, everyone must find their right position, their natural condition of life. And from that position, engage in the fight with Maya. We have been losing this fight with Maya for many, many births. She has convinced us that enjoying this world is our destiny and the highest perfection. So now we're declaring war on this illusion. And to fight that war, one has to be in the proper position. So many young men here, one of the big questions you have, shall I get married or shall I be a sannyasi? Shall I be grihastha or be sannyas? Right? This is a big question. So my dear godbrother Tamal Krishna Maharaj had a very good way to identify this question. Would you like to hear that? Hey. So one of my godbrothers had been a brahmachari for about 8 or 10 years, and he was 28 years old. So he was a very serious devotee, very enthusiastic preacher. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked him, would you like to take sannyas or would you like to get married? So the devotee thought about it and he said, I think I'd like to stay brahmachari. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, That means you want to get married. If one is naturally a renunciate, then it is a very strong, overpowering desire to pursue renunciation throughout life. And it is as easy and natural as anything. And there is no question about it. Otherwise, grihastha life is the natural condition for most men. This doesn't mean that one has to artificially put oneself in any position. In fact, that's the whole point. What is my natural condition for pleasing Krishna from which I can endure this life and remain always in Krishna consciousness? See, our life is very short. It goes very quickly. It goes so quickly, especially if one is living a sattvic life, a regulated life, and practicing bhakti. Have you noticed that in your years in Krishna consciousness? How quickly the time goes? Very quickly. It doesn't change. There is a saying that married men live longer, but the truth is it just seems longer. In fact, if one is Krishna conscious, it doesn't matter. Grihe tako vani tako sadahari boli dako. It doesn't matter what one's ashram is. The purpose is the same. The purpose is to please Krishna in that, in our own unique way, which is true with our own nature and consistent and therefore very solid and easy to maintain. If we're in a position that's easy to maintain, then this life passes so quickly and then very soon we're ready to go back to Godhead. Yeah, it is a wonderful experience to live a life in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we should not be very concerned about what other people think or what we think we're supposed to do. We should just do what is appropriate and natural for ourselves. And then we'll very easily spend our lives chanting. You know, there's an old saying that at the time of death, one's life flashes before one's eyes. You've heard this? People who have had near-death experiences have reported this phenomenon. So this is actually true. It's mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Yam yam vapi smaram bhavam chajyantyante kalevaram. Whatever we remember at the time of death determines our next birth. So if we have filled up our life with Krishna conscious activities, then what else do we have to remember? Then very easily we'll think of Krishna at the time of death because there's nothing else in the program. You know, all of our memories will be associated with Krishna consciousness. Festivals, friends, family members who are devotees, adventures, experiences, realizations, kirtans, chanting, prasadam, more prasadam. You know, these will be the things we naturally remember because that's what we did with our lives. So to be able to stay in Krishna consciousness just means to avoid the offenses, to try to always please Krishna in the best way. Then old age becomes our friend. As we age, so many things change. The things that we always took for granted, like various parts of our bodies always working, that starts changing. Our faculties to perceive things, it starts changing, it starts diminishing. This is what I have observed in my mother and other elderly people, that their world shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. My father lived to be 90, and he told me once near the end of his life, he said, if I go to the post office and have a haircut, that's a big day. Very productive day. He said, old age is not for sissies. And people who like to complain a lot, it is not the right position in life. But complain is what old people do, isn't it? Mostly about what? The body. Yes. Have this going wrong and this going wrong and this going wrong. And other old people can relate to it. Therefore, that is the kata. Once when I was visiting my mother I was walking behind her and her friend, and they were talking, and then her friend says, "And on top of everything else, now my butt hurts." Even that doesn't. So all of these things are a terrible tragedy for the non-devotee. But for the devotee, they're a great impetus to remember Krishna. What was I expecting? See, devotional life means to lower our expectations for material life. Lower our expectations. I deserve to be happy. This is the illusion from Maya. I deserve to be materially comfortable. I deserve to have the right marriage, and I deserve to have the right economic situation. I deserve to always have health and good eyesight and good hearing. I expect these things. So when they go, then we think, hey, Krishna, what's going on? But this is the mercy of Krishna, actually. Just as the Prachetas got this mercy, the power to enjoy for a million years, followed by devotional service. For us, we already have the mercy of devotional service. Therefore, the power to enjoy is no longer a great interest to us. Ashlishyava padaratam panashtumam adarshana marmahatam karotuva. In the mood of Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays like this. You're completely free to do anything and everything. I don't care if you treat me roughly by your embrace or trample me beneath your feet or even are unfaithful to me, apparently. I don't care. Whatever you want to do, that is your decision. But you are always my worshipful Lord unconditionally. That's my decision. I'm not going to condition my service on the basis of how you treat me materially. This is what enables us to endure the troubles of this world. Madhavendra Puri prayed that ever since I've taken up Krishna consciousness, all of my relatives think that I'm crazy. My friends think I'm just frustrated. And the wealthy people think I'm wasting my time like a fool. And the philosophers think I'm very puffed up and think I know everything. Everyone is criticizing me. And still, my mind does not budge an inch in my determination to serve Govinda, even though I'm unable to do it. This is the mood of the devotee. We're not practicing Krishna consciousness to please anyone else. We're just simply trying to please Krishna. It's said that when one becomes a devotee, it's like getting married. When you get married, you immediately have so many new friends and so many new enemies. So when you become a devotee, immediately so many people think it's wonderful and so many other people think it's the worst thing that could have happened to you. Okay. So that is the polarizing nature of spiritual life in this world. In the Bible, Jesus said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own village and among his own family members. A prophet, a spiritual person, is honored everywhere except in his own village and in his own family. You understand? So we don't take up Krishna consciousness generally for the pleasure of our family members. Right? One of my godbrothers was from a very well-to-do family. His father was very upset when he became a devotee. So he had been reading Prahlad Maharaj's conversation with Lord Narsinghadev about how Hiranyakashipu would be liberated by the strength of his son's devotion. So he said, "Dad, I'm just doing this for you." So, in conclusion, this life goes very quickly in Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness enables us to deal with the uncertainties and the painful realities of this world. It's the only thing, in fact, that gives us that kind of protection. And our life should therefore not be spent pursuing material things, kamasyanendriyapritir. But rather, one should just simply try to live a simple life in Krishna's service and depend on Krishna for everything. This will enable us to always actually be happy and at the end of life feel like we have lived our life in a wise and successful way. This is the mercy of the parampara, as delivered to us or as inaugurated for us by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Good boy. Any comments or questions, Uji? Well, let's start with this Prabhu. He's right here. Oh, that's right. Go ahead. Yes, Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu, for such a wonderful class. It's very mesmerizing. Yesterday you told about that Krishna lunch was like still, it's ringing in my head actually. The two people conversing, one guy started saying, I want to start about Krishna. Other guy is telling, if you Krishna love, Krishna also will love you back. It's amazing. Prabhuji, my question is that, like in US, Maya is very strong. Mm. And we just want to know, what kind of festivals do you celebrate so that people can get into Krishna consciousness? Mm. Because it's talking about the Harinam Sankirtan.
Yes.
So how do you...
We celebrate, just like here, with Rath Yatras, with Harinam. And you see, the Harinam we do really for the new devotees, primarily. It has its two purposes. First, it attracts sincere people, but also it strengthens the newcomers with these festivals in Harinam. So our purpose is a little different, you see. We want to be able to attract people, but when they are attracted, then we want to be ready for them, to help them grow in their spiritual life. So this has been a problem in the U.S. in preaching. And by the way, Maya is equally strong in India, but that's another...
How about this Pandava Sena? Do they have an impact on there?
Sorry, the Pandava?
Pandava Sena.
Pandava Sena, for the young people.
Yep.
Yeah, that's in England. And we have a version of that also in the United States called the Sangha Initiative.
Okay.
Where young people get together. Yes, it's very, very strengthening. But see, Prabhupada characterized that there's a difference between preaching in India and preaching in the West. You know this? He said, in the West, people are asleep. In India, people are pretending to be asleep. If someone is asleep, you can wake them up. But if someone's pretending to be asleep, forget it. So, the difficulty in the West is that Krishna consciousness, it is not prestigious. There's nothing prestigious about becoming a member of ISKCON. See? Therefore, and people who are invested heavily in education and material life, they see no purpose, in most cases, in doing something that is socially unacceptable or socially looked down upon. There's tremendous propaganda against Krishna consciousness in the West. And there has been ever since Prabhupada went there. It's more acceptable now, but it's so much more acceptable to practice Krishna consciousness in India than in America. This is the biggest difficulty. So the Sankirtan, to answer your question, the Harinam is what gives the devotees the spiritual strength. Because on Harinam, they get very clear vision of the modes of nature, how they are working, how people are chasing ridiculous goals. And it makes them smile. They get these realizations and they just become so happy and enlightened. There's nothing that compares to the Harinam for that purpose.
These Christian people, they do a mass preaching, actually, missionaries. And we have such a profound philosophy. Hmm. And we give it through holy name.
Yes.
But still, people don't take it up so easily.
Yes.
And you said that India is like more Maya than the US. So
equal.
Equal. Okay.
So different, but equal. To take birth in Bharadvarsha is very auspicious. Why is that? Because you have a natural proclivity, a natural inclination towards the Vedic teachings. They say that just doesn't exist in America. So, Prabhupada spent 30 years trying to start ISKCON in America, in India, and he had one casual disciple. But when he went to the West, he did not put a lot of cultural expectations on those young men and women. You know? He said, you can, it doesn't matter if you wear a dhoti or not, it doesn't matter if you shave your head or not. You be comfortable. Just chant Hare Krishna. So reducing the cultural overlay was Prabhupada's strategy. And then when people came, then gradually he introduced things. Yeah, so this is explained by Rupa Goswami. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna naveshaya. Somehow or other, think of Krishna, the rules and regulations can come later. This we have to do very strictly to reach non-Hindu audiences in America. Very strictly. You can't expect people to make such a radical adjustment. So the Harinam helps them internally turn over. And externally, we have to just make it very easy and mellow. Just add Krishna. Just add Krishna. You're doing your school, you're doing your work, you're doing your family thing, whatever. That's fine. All is fine. Just add Krishna. Then gradually, gradually, very patiently, we have to nurture them along. And it's difficult. It takes time. But when Prabhupada brought these Western devotees that he carefully nurtured back to India, then the Indian people became interested. And this formula works. It still works very well. The difficulty is, in the West, that we have the Hindu diaspora. 1% of America is of Hindu extraction, approximately 1%. But 80% of the temple populations are from Hindu extraction, you see. So that, and this is because the diaspora there were so grateful, the immigrants were so grateful for ISKCON having a temple, having a deity service. So they flocked to the temples and they contributed generously. Meanwhile, the Western devotees did not have their varna and ashram organized. You know, this when Prabhupada was going back to the West, he said, I want to introduce varna and ashram. It's 50% of my mission. But he didn't go. He didn't make it. So that was left up to us. And we did not get any guidance as young men and women. You know, we had no elders to tell us about how to organize our lives and be stable as grihasthas. And consequently, our children often suffer. So the congregation now in the West will look at these Western devotees and say, well, look, your lives, you lived in ashrams and then you weren't prepared. So who needs ashrams? But if you don't have ashrams, you don't have any Western devotees. Because the Western devotees need to come in and be immersed to catch up in the culture that they have never been exposed to. You understand? So these are our struggles in preaching in the West. How to convince the congregation that ashrams need to be supported. Ashrams created the congregations. Now can the congregations create ashrams? Most of the ashrams are rather dead. So in Gainesville, we've really concentrated on developing ashrams, and the results have been wonderful. So the Westerners are still ready to become devotees. And in that environment, it doesn't matter if you're Hindu or non-Hindu or child of a devotee or a convert. It makes no difference because everyone is enjoying the Harinam together and appreciating one another. That's the beauty of Krishna consciousness. So I hope that answers your question. Okay, Prabhuji. This young man, yes, sir.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for such an inspiring class. My question is, like, as you said in the class, that to remain fixed up in our Krishna consciousness, we should know our unique way of serving Krishna.
Yes.
So, but like from childhood only, we are like trained or like we are educated in such a way, either to become a doctor or engineer, and like whatever unique way of serving, it's that it's already covered up. And then you told that naturally it will be revealed. But it's really difficult to understand what is my unique way of serving Krishna.
Well, it's difficult because we're impatient. The mode of passion dictates that we need to know right now what is my destiny for the rest of my life. See? But Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan nischayat dhairyam. Right? So these are seemingly contradictory things, enthusiasm and patience. Mode of passion or the mode of goodness. See, but if we have taken our birth in a family where we're directed towards higher education, doctor, engineer, you know, that's not bad. That's not bad. You can be a doctor for Krishna. You can be an engineer for Krishna. Now, sometimes people just really hate engineering when they're pushed. You have to do this. You have to do this. And if it's really not our nature, we'll come to a point where we see, I just really have no taste for this. But if we can do the work, this high education, then we should do it. Do it for Krishna. Like Arjuna shot arrows on the battlefield. This is our dharma, our Kurukshetra. But do it for Krishna. So what is it that we're naturally inclined to do? Well, if we are naturally inclined to be grihasthas, then we should be responsible grihasthas, take good care of a family. You know, if we're, and then within those, that environment, that's all devotional service. It's all devotional service. Just to, within that environment, do we like to write? Do we like to do music? Do we like to do art? Do we like to do deity worship? Those things will naturally manifest. Do we like to preach? You know, to preach, you have to have an audience, and it takes a lot of work to have an audience. So, you know, are you willing to do all the background work and support and outreach to help organize so you can have a nice Namhata group or Bhakti Vriksha group in your neighborhood? All these things. There's plenty of room for expression. So if you have the karma that your destiny is to be an engineer or doctor, don't feel like this is contrary to Krishna's service. Just do the very best you can and do it and then offer it to Krishna. We used to think in the very early days of ISKCON that if you became a devotee, that means you are a minister. You are a priest. That is your dharma. That's what it means to be a devotee. You know, but then we came to understand, no, that very few people are actually inclined towards the ministry, what the Christians would call the ministry. You know, there's one shepherd for every 100 sheep, right? So to be a minister means you have to really be by nature very compassionate towards others, very patient with others, willing to give of yourself to help them. And you have to be willing to live on very little money because it's generally not a well-paid position. But if that's what pleases you for serving Krishna, that's fine. Just know that's a rare person. It's rare. You know, 1 out of 10, maybe 1 out of 100. Will be so inclined. But that's all right. That's not the definition of a devotee. That's maybe a more brahminical varna, but it's not the definition of a devotee. A devotee can act in any varna, in any ashram, because it's transcendental. Krishna consciousness is transcendental. So just try to please Krishna. Depend on Krishna. Don't worry. You know, don't worry about... Just take one step, the next step in front of you. And if you're doing well in school, just keep it up. That's clearly what Krishna wants you to be doing, all right? Are you doing well in school?
I'm working.
You're working. Oh, you're working. So you're doing well at work?
Yeah.
Okay. So the way we please Krishna is defined, or it is revealed to us by what we have taste for doing. If we have taste, if we're enjoying our service, then that's a sign Krishna wants us there. Now, we are officially like way over time already. Okay, it says right there, 8:55, and that includes question and answers. So what should we do? One last question, okay.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a eye-opening class, especially about the old age and the feelings and how we should be focused in pleasing Krishna, etc. Thank you for sharing the pastime of Tamal Krishna Maharaj. I just wanted some more reflections on the statement of Tamal Krishna Maharaj to understand it in a better way. That he said that, you know, you want to take sannyas or you want to get married. So he says, I want to remain as a brahmachari.
Mm-hmm.
So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, that means you want to get married.
Yes.
So can you just throw some more reflections on in this direction?
Yes, it means the devotee was indecisive. He was indecisive about his renunciation. That's all. And Maharaj was just pointing this out. Well, if you're indecisive about renunciation at this stage, your nature is grihastha. See, the idea is that if one is very, very passionate and enthusiastic about renunciation, then brahmachari sannyasa is a natural position. Okay? And if one is indecisive, that's a sign that, no, brahmachari grihastha is a natural progression of life.
So indecisiveness is one important factor there, indecisiveness.
Because yes.
We may be is it that the aspiration should be there, qualification is not there? Is it like that? That qualification will come, but aspiration is there. It's like that?
It's like the desire has to be very, very strong. That's all. And it's not natural for most men. Okay? But if the desire is strong, then it is natural. And then very naturally one will gravitate in that direction. So, these are lessons that we are learning. ISKCON is very much a work in progress. We're still learning. Right? But it's a wonderful work in progress. I mean, Christianity took 300 years before it dominated, before it actually became the state religion. So we're not doing too bad after 50 years. We're still here. And they say, in the history of religions, that if a religion lasts 50 years, then its chances of survival are very good. So be patient, please.
Can I ask one more question?
This is up to Prabhuji.
He has some question. Someone else has some question.
I'd be happy to. Okay. Prabhu, say your question quickly.
Hare Krishna.
Haribo.
Thank you very much for your class, and I really appreciate the clarity of thought you brought in, whatever you spoke about. Of course, it's not a question, but it's just kind of a triggering. The Guinness Valley you're from, and I would like to know, once upon a time it was known, also known as Geese Valley, because there was a lot of ghee they would put. The prasadam was so famous by the legendary Amarendra Prabhu and his good wife.
Yes.
So, would you like to share some anecdotes with us about, just to inspire us?
Yes, over prasadam, I'll be glad to do that.
Exactly, because right now we are hungry also, so it's a good karma too.
Okay. Jai. Very good. You have good karma. After a fast day, you're ready for breakfast. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Where is Dave Amrita Mara?
Is this Kalkanta Prabhu ki?
Yeah. Where is Maharaj? Can be downstairs?
Hare Krishna. So his name is Devamani Swami Maharaj. He's just about to arrive. So we request devotees to come for kirtans to welcome him.
Okay, where is that?